All right, let's see if you guys want to get your Bibles out, and we will turn to two places tonight. Daniel chapter 20. I was just getting up here to tell you guys I was going to bail. So, Daniel 22. Daniel 22 and 1 John chapter 1. So in Daniel 2, you of course, we heard a sermon fairly recently in Daniel chapter 1. You have Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He has a vision, and he's trying to figure out what it is, and so, of course, you guys know the story. Daniel is called up, and in verse 19 it says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and what and the light dwelleth with him." And then if you guys will, we'll read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And so the two correlations there is the darkness and the light. And, of course, the Bible says that there is no darkness in him at all. And I guess I'm not really going to preach anything out of 1 John 1:5, but I just want to express that there is no darkness in him at all. And, of course, there's different darknesses in the Bible. And there's a lot of darknesses. I think darkness, just the word darkness, shows up around like 160 times in the Bible, and that's just darkness. That doesn't include dark or anything like that. And so there's a lot of things about darkness in the Bible. Some are, fine enough, but then there's other where they get kind of deep, and it's kind of hard to understand it, and there's something to it. And so I'd just like to preach a little bit about the darkness tonight. And I tell you what, before we get any further, I will go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for the day today, and Lord, it's good to be in church, and we just thank you for allowing us to be in this place, Lord, and we just pray now that you would come in here, Lord, and that you would show yourself in this sermon, Lord, and we can do all that we can, Lord, but Lord, if you don't show up, then everything that is said and done here, Lord, is absolutely pointless, and it's a waste of time. And Father, we just pray that you would find this place welcome for your Holy Spirit tonight, and we do pray that you would bless it, and we pray you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd like to, starting off, just kind of acknowledge a few different darknesses that there are in the Bible, just to address them. And, in Luke chapter 11, there's some darkness there, and you guys can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 34, it says this. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that that light which is in thee be not darkness. Thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, and when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Now, there's nobody in here, I don't think, would argue that man can be a very dark character. Man can be very dark. You know, the Bible says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It says in John chapter 3, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. For he that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And one thing about man is he can be a very dark person. His heart can be very dark. And some of these acknowledgments here that I have, you can kind of blend them in together because they do kind of go together. But man can be very dark. In June 7th, 1692, there was a port in Jamaica, and it was called Port Royal. And in 1650 to 1630, that was known as the Golden Age of Piracy. And that's where you had Edward Teach, who was known as Blackbeard, and Sam Bellamy, and you had all these guys, Calico Jack, and you had all these guys, all these pirates, and they would gather at Port Royal. And Port Royal, in turn, it became known as the modern Sodom and Gomorrah. It was known as the wickedest place on earth back then. And it was a very wicked place. And at one point, you had Henry Morgan, Sir Henry Morgan, who is known as, he's more known because of Captain Morgan, a drink. And you have Blackbeard, he was there, Calico Jack Rackham was there. And so you had all these big pirates that gathered in this place. And finally, one day, the sin got so much. And it was funny because even modern-day writers or even secular writers say that it seemed like what happened was an act of God, because in 1692, a huge earthquake happened. Three big earthquakes came and completely demolished Port Royal. And they said that the soil liquefied. And buildings just sunk in the dirt. I mean, it was crazy. And they said that one of every four buildings was either a bar or a brothel. That place was a wicked place, and God took care of it, wiped it out. Port Royal exists today technically, but the old Port Royal is gone. It doesn't exist. And it's never been as big of a place as it once was back then. And so... it's interesting because you read in the Bible and Jesus Christ spews out judgment, because it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, that he knoweth what is in the darkness. And man can be very dark. Now, there's spiritual darkness, and of course, this can encompass a lot of different things, really. But in Acts, let's see if I can do this. In Acts 26, verse 18, I can't, so I'm going to turn there really quick. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There is a spiritual darkness in this world. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Ephesians 6, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And again, that one, you can go a lot of directions with that darkness, but there is a darkness of just spirituality, spiritual darkness. Sorry, I'm nervous. You also have another one. If you will, go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, there's another darkness that's pretty obvious, but figure I'd mention it. In 1 John 1, 5, it says, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now you'll know once we read in the context what that darkness is. If we say then that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so there is a darkness of sin. And again, you can kind of take these and blend these in one another. Man, darkness of sin, those kind of go together. But it says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And there's a darkness to sin. You know, you read this, and then verse, actually, let's read chapter 2, verse, find my spot here, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. And if there's one thing that God is hard on sin. You know why? Because he knoweth what is in the darkness. In Proverbs chapter 7, we won't read too much of this, but in Proverbs chapter 7, you have that darkness showing up. And if it isn't obvious, there are three ways to describe it. Verse 6, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. So if you don't understand the word darkness, I have a few other ways to describe it for you. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and beheld there met a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And sin can be very dark. Now these aren't the dark, this is not the darkness that I want to talk about tonight. I would like to acknowledge another type of darkness in the Bible. And just about darkness in general, man doesn't really like darkness, right? You send a kid into his bedroom, and what are they afraid of? They're afraid of the dark. You got to turn the light on, right? You tell an adult to come here at 12 o'clock at night. Adults are scared of the dark. This place is freaky when there's no light on, right? They don't like darkness. They said that in World War I, in a foxhole, at night was the most terrifying thing. That's what they said. They said that men would just sit there in anticipation of getting killed. They said that they would hear a bomb fall, they would be shaken. They would just be shaken in their foxhole. And they said that they would hear a bomb come and they'd stop. They'd stop shaking, they'd stop breathing. And then the bomb would go off. Oh, okay, still alive. But then they'd just start shaking again. Right, and they said that that was one of the most horrifying places to be. Now, for us, the unknown is held in the grasp of darkness. You don't know what's in the darkness. And so, in Job chapter 4, actually, I'll just read in Job chapter 4, verse 13. It is said, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Night is a scary place. Night is a scary thing. Darkness. And there's something to be said about it. It's a weird thing. You can't explain it. There's times where you can almost feel the darkness, right? When we would go to the Olson's cabin, there was a few years where some of us guys, we would rent four-wheelers and we'd go out and we'd be going around on all their trails, and then we'd go out at night. And it's funny because Seth would be like, oh yeah, let's go out at night. I'm like, yeah, no. And so we would go out there at night and we'd be driving around and you can't see anything because it's in the woods and it's a long way from any kind of light. And there was a few times where all the trails would meet, and so we'd stop the car, or stop the four-wheelers, and we'd turn the lights off, and we'd just sit there, and you couldn't hear anything. I mean, it was just silent, and it was dark. It was freaky, you know. I didn't like it. I don't like the darkness. It was dark. Now, it's interesting because in the book of Job, darkness shows up more than any other time in the Bible. And if there was anybody in this life that knew about the darkness other than Jesus Christ, it was Job. Now, I understand that every time it's mentioned in Job, it is not necessarily referring to Job. There's a lot of tribulation passages in there talking about the Antichrist and all those things. But Job was very much acquainted with darkness. And so the darkness I would like to preach about tonight, the title of my message will be In the Darkness of Man's Trouble. And so with that being said, if you will, let's go to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. So there's a few things I would like to talk about darkness. And the darkness I'm talking about is in Job chapter 19. Job 19, verse 8, says this. It says, "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths." And in the end, a lot of the trouble that we go through on this earth, if we get right down to it and put the blame where it belongs, in the end, you know who's responsible for it? God. God allows that darkness. God allowed that darkness to come upon Job. God allowed Job to go through the trouble that he went through. Now, darkness may not always come as a tragedy, but for Job, I'm going to read in chapter 3, verse 25. "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." For Job, his worst nightmare became reality. The darkness for Job was so dark. Look what it says in verse 26. "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." And there was nothing really that Job could do to stop it. And it came suddenly for Job. And all of it, I mean, his whole entire life came to a screeching halt. And it's very interesting because he says in verse 25, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." Job thought about this before. Job thought, what would I do if this happened? How would I react? How can I prepare myself? And there really is no way to prepare yourself for that. But you know what? He says that God fenced me in. He put this in my path. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, it's interesting because it is a different situation. But when Abram fell asleep, you know what it says? You know how God came to him? It says, "And horror of great darkness fell upon him." In Psalms chapter 88, Psalms 88. Psalms 88, verse 3. David, or Korah, I guess, says, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps." And in this passage here, he is laid in the lowest pit, in darkness. And I don't know, when I think of that, there's only one person my mind goes back to. It always goes back to is Job and the darkness that Job faced. And God allowed it to happen. And so many Christians, you know, I think that the devil gets blamed too much for things. And people decide that they're going to turn their attention and their focus on the devil when the Lord says, no, it's not him, it's me. And Christians would be greatly advantaged if they realized that their trouble is not always coming from the devil. Sometimes the Lord puts it in your path, and you need to face that. In Lamentations 3:6, it says, "He hath set me in dark places." He, God, God did it. Now, darkness may not make sense to you. It may not make sense why it's happening to you. Job chapter 3, verse 1, it also, man, I mean, just look at how dark Job's life is at this point. Look at verse 1. "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day." He cursed his day. "And Job spake and said, Let the day perish when I was born, and night, and the night which in it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it." That's darkness. That is trouble. "Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the number, unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. And for Job, it was just so sudden. Verse 13 of chapter 2, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him for what? They saw that his grief was very great. And they're sitting there and they're watching Job, and they sat there for 7 days and seven nights. They didn't say a thing. They just sat there and cried with him. They had some darkness. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was a grief that no man could explain. And I don't know tonight if your troubles are that bad. I really don't. But it was a place that was led by God. You see, because he knoweth what is in the darkness. He knows what's there. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 23, it says that I won't go through it, but it was Moses on the mount, and it was said that God spake from darkness. He speaks from darkness. And it's weird. It's weird, the connections with God and darkness, because it almost seems to contradict, because in him is light and there is no darkness at all, right? And so it's kind of interesting what happens there. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And listen, even though this is a place that is led by God, I will say, though, that in this darkness, it is a place that God speaks from. And it is a place that God will speak to you from. God speaks in the darkness of man's trouble because he knoweth what is in the darkness. You say, well, how can God allow me to go through this? Really? You're going to put this on me? What's this for? He knoweth what is in the darkness. Like I said before, for you the unknown is held in darkness. You don't know. You look in the darkness and you don't know what's down there. You don't know if something's going to reach out and grab you. You know, I've come in here before and had to, you know, flip the heat on when we didn't have the thermostats. And I'd be walking past those Sunday school rooms and like the little girl inside of you wants to, like, you know, I mean, and that's seriously, it's not fun. But you don't know what's in the darkness. And for Job, he didn't know where it was going to end. For Job, it would have been easier if it could have just ended in death. How does he know? How does God know what's in the darkness? And, of course, the obvious is, well, he's God. Of course, he knows everything. But it's more practical than that. It's not just that. And so it'd bring me to my next point. And so I'd like to say, in the darkness of man's troubles, it's a place where God abides. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, and in 1 Chronicles 6, 1, it says this about the Lord. It says, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in thick darkness. Now, we're just practically applying this, right? I mean, we're not drawing a doctrinal conclusion from these verses. We're just taking it so we can use it for ourselves. Not to sound so selfish, but we're just practically applying it. In Exodus 20, verse 21, it says that Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Darkness is where God dwells. I don't understand it, but if you were to study it out yourself, I don't know exactly what conclusions you would come to, but it's interesting because for some reason, God seems to shroud himself in darkness. Even though it says when he comes and when he's coming back at the second coming, he comes in great glory, right? But it's weird because it talks about the day being dark and a day of gloominess. And I don't understand all of that. So in some ways, I kind of hate to say it just to leave you on a limb there, but it seems that he shrouds himself in darkness. But in your darkest hour, he knoweth what's in the darkness. He knoweth. In your deepest depression, he knoweth what is in the darkness. When the darkness of your trouble is so thick you can feel it. When nothing in life is, when everything in life, excuse me, is held in question. He knoweth what is in the darkness. He knows. Why? How do you know that? Why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep reminding me that? He knoweth what is in the darkness. What is your point? How do you know this? Psalms 18. Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, verse 11. Look what it says about the darkness. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel chapter 12. And that is the wrong one. One second here. It might be first.
That's not good.
Give me one second here. This is really not good, guys, just so you know.
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to deal with this. But it says in Psalms chapter 18, I'll go back to that and see if I can jump off of that some. Psalms chapter 18. Verse 11. I hate when that happens. Psalms 18:11 says, He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. He makes your darkness, the darkness that you're in. And again, we're just taking a practical application from it, but how does he know what is in the darkness? And I guess just the simple answer is that he makes your darkness, he makes your trouble his place of rest. I don't understand that. I don't know why he does that, but that's his pavilion. When you're going through your darkness, Jesus Christ decides to walk by and says, hey, that's a place I can sit down. I can get some rest there. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verse 12. It says this. It says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And listen, your darkness doesn't bother him. Your trouble, it doesn't bother him. He doesn't walk up to you and be like, you know that person, they're just like, it's, you ask them how they're doing, it's just like, they're always talking about their problems, so you're just like, ugh, and you just kind of back out, you know, the conversation, like, never mind, you know. God doesn't do that. That doesn't bother God. You talk about your problems to him, and you know what he does? He makes that his pavilion. He doesn't care. He's not scared of it. You know why? Because he knows what's in the darkness. I don't know about you, but I can get scared of things that I don't know, things that I don't understand. You know, when I started in remodeling with Brother Dave, I hated two things, plumbing and electrical. You know why? I didn't understand them. I didn't understand them at all. I remember we were dirt-rocking a shower, and the shower valve was all roughed in and all that. And they have like this shroud that is big enough so that you can put screws and all that. Anyways, so I was thinking that I had to take that off to Dura-Rock, and so I was taking it off, and so I undid this screw. I undid that screw, and all of a sudden water started to come out. Oh, my God. I put the screw back in. But I hated it because I didn't understand it. I didn't know anything about it. But your trouble, God's not scared of it. It doesn't surprise him. And there's people that they have to step out into some very thick darkness. You know, I can't help but thinking of Jason, who lost his wife. Talk about darkness. Who wants to go through that? And yet God walks by and says, that looks like a good pavilion for me. I can rest there. I can help him out. Your darkness doesn't make him uncomfortable. It doesn't scare him. He has the utmost confidence because he knoweth what is in the darkness. There's no other way to describe it. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Now, I'd also like to say that in the darkness of man's trouble, if you will go back to Psalm 18, Psalms chapter 18. And I definitely don't understand this one, and I don't have my mind wrapped around it, and I'm sure there's some other deep ways to explain this and all that, but I'm just going to kind of hit it because I actually got stumped with it this afternoon, but it's there, so we'll just deal with it. But in Psalm 18:11, it says, he made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters, thick clouds of the sky. Go to chapter 27. Go to chapter 27, verse 5. It says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 3, it says this. It says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I am the Lord which call thee by name, and the Lord God of Israel. I would like to say that in the darkness of man's trouble, there's a private place with untold riches. I don't understand that, but it says that I will give thee the treasures of darkness. And apparently, in trouble, in darkness, there is a treasure there. It presents an opportunity for you to sit down with God in a private place and talk with him. It's private. God doesn't invite the world into your trouble. When he knows something about you and he knows your worry, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't go on Facebook and blab it around, right? He doesn't decide to put a billboard up and tell everybody about your trouble. It's private. And he knows that. It's a place that no one else knows about, only you. Maybe it's a place where he can assure you that he knoweth what is in the darkness. Now, I guess in closing, this is kind of shorter than I thought it would be, but I said that it was a private place with untold riches, and you say, well, what about the riches? Where am I overflowing with all of these goods? And just I am just, it's so great that I was in that darkness. Well, like I said, I'm sure we could expound on that. We could probably guess at what it is. Some of you guys could probably even get together and actually figure out what it's talking about. But maybe we'll just let you go to the pavilion and find God in your darkness. And you know, maybe you'll never be able to explain to somebody the riches that God gave you to get through whatever you were in. I don't know. But maybe for tonight, we'll just let the riches set. And we won't necessarily say what they are, but maybe we'll just let you find out what it is. Riches untold. He knoweth what is in the darkness. He knows what's there. And I guess I read that verse and it hit me and it was just like, man, that is so cool. We go through darkness and we go through trouble and you know what? It doesn't really surprise him. You know, it's never fun to make a call and say, oh, hey, we've got this problem. Oh, really? Oh, no. What do we do? With God, there's no surprises. But if you're in trouble tonight, and if you're not, it trouble will come. Like Job said, trouble came. I would just encourage you to go to God and go to that pavilion. Go to that place and talk to him. Talk to him and listen, he wants to get closer to you. And he will allow trouble to come so that he can get closer to you. He can allow the trouble to come, but if you just say, hey, whoa, what's with this? I'm out. That's not his problem. That's not his fault. And you know, it says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. He's got something in it for you. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. But I'd encourage you tonight to go to him. Talk to him. Find out what those riches are. And really, you're really going to be the only one that can say for yourself what those riches are. The Bible says in Daniel 2:22, it says that he knoweth what is in the darkness. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord.